This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
For old time's sake.
By all means.
I have discovered something.
Okay.
So there are actors that have played a multitude of parts in the world, be it gaming, be it film, be it cartoon, be it whatever. There's only 3 actors who have played the same characters.
Okay.
One being Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the other being Superman, Clark Kent. So the first one is Yuri, who is the voice actor for Spider-Man in the game.
Yeah.
And he's also played Superman in the Legions of Superhero cartoon.
Really?
Yes. Jack Quaid, he has played Peter Parker in Into the Spider-Verse. He basically was Gwen's Peter.
Oh, okay. Into the Spider-Verse. Okay.
And he's currently playing Superman in the new Superman series, which is very good. I highly recommend it if you get a chance to watch it.
Check it out.
It's really good.
Very good.
Okay.
And then we have the legend himself. I mean, the grand legend himself. The man who's all about Cage. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God.
Spider-Man Noir in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton Superman. And technically, he is canon because he was in the Flash film.
In the Flash film, yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. That's a deep cut. I love that beginning. Oh, my gosh. Well done, bruv. Up in the game. On that note, welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about geekery, nerdism, and all else in between from a black British South London postcode. I am your host, one of your awesome hosts, Shanna's. Next to me is the instant classic with that amazing... My brain's blown again off that beginning. Thank you very much.
I am to please.
And also, Booger Red, big man on the other side of me.
Hello, everybody. Hope everyone is well.
And welcome. It's been a while, and welcome to season 4. And thank you for all those who have tuned in and listened from day one and still continue to be here. Guess what? We're back. And with the writer's strike coming to an end as well, I feel like it's only fitting that we have a chat, all of us combined, about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Wait, who's Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
That's whatever a spider can. I think this came out of a conversation that brother and I had in our downtime. And I think because one, we went to see Across the Spider-Verse, I think we see it twice now. I've seen it 3 times, in fairness. And also, I think we said that why is it down to Spider-Man to carry the franchises in terms of video games and films? And that's come out of this. So I thought we'd come together and have a little chat about the different iterations of Spider-Man and just all things Spidey. How about you, boys?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okie dokie.
I'm good for it. Let's go.
Let's kick this off. I mean, I don't think we're going to have to go into a huge, like, kind of... Spider-Man was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, but I think we're gonna. I think we're not gonna go that deep.
Speak for yourself. I have my notes. 1 second. Let me get my book out. And I'm just
say. I think I said to all of us like that we should take a Spider-Man or Spider-Man and have a little chat about it. Bring to the group
or Spider-Man or person
or Spider-Woman. Or Spider Person, or Spider all in between, especially after seeing Across the Spider Verse. Where should we start? Should we start with our thoughts about Across the Spider Verse and go from there? You think?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So Across the Spider Verse, I believe it's coming to streaming shortly. Apparently,
well, technically, it's already available to buy digitally, but stream wise, it's probably going to go on Netflix.
Probably, I guess we'll see.
It's still technically Sony property, even Sony. Associated with Marvel, but it won't be on Disney. So I say Netflix.
Okay. Right. Big man.
Yeah. I'll
thoughts and feelings about Across the Spider-Verse. We'll start with you.
Oh, Across Spider-Verse. Okay. It was awesome. I loved it. Any film that can grab my attention as soon as the word Sony or Columbia TriStar kicks in, and Gwen's intro alone had me. The intro where she's explaining what's happened in the previous film, and then brilliantly, obviously non-spoiler for no one that hasn't seen it yet, but it suddenly turns very quickly. From that little 10-minute intro, I was hooked. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with everyone, and those that don't know me well, Spider-Man is not one of my favourite MCU characters. He's not. But I always enjoyed the villains of Spider-Man or the odd reincarnation. I mean, anyone that knows me well, straight away, you mentioned Spider-Man, the first I'm going to say is Venom. Venom is my favourite character in the Spider-Man universe. But with these films, I'm warming ever so slightly to Spidey. And that's down to great storytelling. I mean, hell, I would even admit this. I fancy Miles' mum. Yeah, I mean, he's stunning. But yes, it's a
you're talking about the actual character, or are you talking about the person that's a voice? Because both are quite
fine. The person that's a voice.
Okay, because she's fine. Let's be fine.
Yeah.
She's got a twin sister as well.
Yeah. Sorry?
She has a twin sister as well.
What the?
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, she's done a lot of stage shows in England, actually. But yeah, I think she actually lives in England. I could be completely wrong, though. But yeah, identical twin sister.
Wow, going the whole Linda Hamilton route. May Leslie rest.
No, you know what? I was lucky enough that there's certain films that when it comes out, obviously with the whole social media world, you have to put on mute because people are going to spoil it or upload it from their mobile, which everyone does, and it pees me off. But that's for a different day. I saw that opening night. And I had an absolute blast. Everyone who was in that film played up. So I can't even speak. The words can't even come out. Anyone from bear with me, I won't remember the name. It was Daniel Kaluuya, right? That did the voice of Spider.
Yeah.
Hobie Brown. Super. Hobie Brown.
Hobie Brown.
Yeah.
Man like Miles.
Miles, everyone. I mean, even the all different, there's that one key scene where he's running and you see all the Spideys in one verse. I thought I stood up, I wanted to jump up and applaud. It's like a geek out moment. And when the finale hits, you're just there looking at thinking, did that just really happen? Am I not Inception? This is not a dream, this is very much real. A fantastic film. I've seen it twice. Got it forthcoming on, well, I've actually ordered it, it ain't arrived yet. What? Cannot wait to watch again and roll on the third whenever that is made.
Oh, real.
It takes a lot. Well, I can say an animated film is up there, but this is up there. This potentially has the makings being one of the best animated trilogy for quite some time. I can't see it disappointing. What's your than Brov's view?
Go for it.
All right. So when it comes, okay, I love comic book films. It's not even the question. I love the MCU. I love DC. I love comic books. I love seeing things that I have read, portrayed on screen, and done justice. However, I do think, I still feel to this day, that when Endgame finished, there should have been at least a 2-year break of MCU films.
I agree.
Like, I mean, if you wanted to keep it, if you wanted to do series along, while there was a film hiatus, I'm cool with that. But
yeah, I feel
like films should have stopped for a good minute. Give us time to miss them.
Yeah.
But and so I so when Into the Spider when Into the Spider-Verse was announced, I was hyped and I was kind of like, oh, got another one. But at the same time, I was hyped because it's one of my favorite versions of Spider-Man. It's Miles. I love Miles.
Miles.
And obviously, when it came to Cross the Spider-Verse, what can I say? It did everything. Like, one of my favorite parts as in the film is one of my favorite things about spider people getting together and they link up. And I mean, like, not link up and start talking to each other. I mean, like, or on the same page physically and mentally when the spider because like you see it perfectly when the three Peters get together in No Way Home.
Yeah,
when they're like clashing each other, they get that moment where they're like, okay, Peter 1, Peter 2, Peter 3, and then there's that moment where they're just swinging on each other while saving each other and kicking butt and saving people. It was amazing, and in that scene in Mumbai, Manhattan, or whatever.
Yes.
Where Hobie, Gwen, Miles, I forget his name.
Asian PR.
When they all just got on the same page that moment, when they're saving people, they're stopping the building from crashing anything. It just, that was beautiful. I feel like not a lot of people give that scene it's due, because everyone talks about the chase scene in the Spider-Verse, but go on, because it took like what 3 years or 4 years to actually animate that whole scene. Fair enough, I get it. But that scene, when those heroes just link up after for the first time, especially after the first few minutes of meeting each other, that was pure poetry in motion. And I wish there was more stuff like that, but then obviously that whole chase scene was amazing as well. So I can't really be angry about that. With the little quips here, the moments like with Peter B. Parker saying, "Yeah, I'm a bad mentor, but he did beat you, so maybe I'm not as bad as you think." And I was like, "Yes," and just the scene where he goes, "Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing." I was like, "Yes, my boy, man, like Miles."
That is my quote. I love that quote.
Yeah, but like, I feel like as we're all black and British, Hobie Brown was a breath of fresh air, because we don't get many characters like that in Marvel media. Like, we don't get to see ourselves. I mean, the closest we got was when it comes to MCU was probably the I forgot the name of the film, The Eternals.
Yeah,
because that was probably the first British Marvel film, if you want to call it that. But obviously there weren't many black British people main cast in it. So, but like Daniel Kaluuya and just having him just talk our language was just chef's kiss. It was I can't stress enough, like I say this multiple times, representation is important. And like,
yes,
it goes back to what Stan Lee said years ago. The best thing, one of the things he loves about Spider-Man is because it could be anyone under that mask. It could be black, it could be white, it could be this, it could be that, it could be man, it could be a girl, it could be anything. And with Into the Spider-Verse, especially when you saw all the spider people, you got that sense of that real sense of that. That was his. That's what he wanted for the character. And you saw so many different versions of that. And that made me feel some kind of happiness.
Yeah, completely. I agree 100%. In going back to your point about representation matters, Asian Spider-Man is Pavatia Prabhakar. If Thank I got you. That wrong, I'm very sorry. I tried. But that is his name. Pav is his nickname.
Chai tea,
that's like saying TT. I love that whole thing.
Cream, cream, your coffee.
What's some bread? I was like, absolutely love it. Bruv took me to see Across the Spider-Verse. I was gobsmacked for a lot of it. Beautiful animation. Absolutely, like, it's, to me, like, it demonstrated so much. It's like, this is what happens when you give people time to do and execute their work. And that was brilliant to see. Like, big man, the Gwen Stacy initial bit was really, really just perfection. Spoilers, I love that when you kind of see new things introduced, they've got a different style. Villains and, you know, and allies. The end, Bruv will attest, I shouted in the middle of the cinema. I was not alone.
I'm not gonna lie, I got a bit of satisfaction for that, because, like, obviously, I knew what was coming. She didn't know what was coming.
I didn't know what was coming.
Yeah, cause that's the thing about Into the Spider-Verse. Like, at this point, it's almost already 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And you expect more, and you're okay with it. Because usually, if you're going for a long-ass film, you know it's going to be a long-ass film, and it's like, okay, it's going to be... Sometimes it's a slog, sometimes it's actually okay, it doesn't feel like it's a three-hour film. But with this, we were willing to sit there for another 2 hours, I bet. I feel like we were probably... Because, like, let's be honest, what was going to come, it's going to be another 2 hours. And we were willing to sit there and wait those two hours if it was going to be a thing.
I'll be honest, the last seat, like, and I'm now seeing it three times, and the same thing again, is that from the time that we get to meet Miles, Miguel O'Hara onwards, that to me moved like a flash.
Mm.
It just moved so quick. It didn't, but it did. And so when it came to, especially because the soundtrack is impeccable, and for those who know, I'm going to say, Metro! Thank you! but the crescendo, the way that it was like ascending, and because, you know, it's the funny thing, it's like the reverse of how we started with the drums and Gwen, and then we have the same kind of thing again with characters that we've met coming together. I won't spoil it. And then when that bit happens, I think I said, what the fuck, didn't I, bruv?
You did.
I think I loudly was like, what the fuck? Like, I was just shocked. I was like, I'm sorry, what? And honestly, bruv sent me a TikTok of Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine crying at the music at the end of Into the Spider-Verse. It's just so beautiful. And I was like, yeah, because this soundtrack is amazing. The music is beautiful. I thought the first for Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack was brilliant. Oh, I was wrong. It's brilliant. But Across the Spider-Verse was like, I see, and I'm going to start. And it was absolutely beautifully executed. I felt it, though, on so many films. And now I see, like, the complexities. The fact that I've seen two different versions, and for those who don't know but should know, there are versions that have been edited differently. So sometimes you may not see the same thing. And I noticed that I've seen two versions. I saw one with my husband. I saw one with Bruv that had slight differences. I mean, not enough to impact the story, as in, like Clue, like, where have the ending is different, but enough for you to go, oh, and really scratch that nerd itch. The nerd itch was scratched so well in Spider-Verse. I've watched so many things about breakdowns and things that I missed, because I feel like it's impossible for you to watch it, and I think Brum Big Man will attest, it's impossible to watch it the first time or second time and get everything without someone saying, did you notice that?
Yeah, because, like, even like, after I watched the second one, I went back to watch the first one, and there were so many things that I didn't notice in the first one that... For the second one, I noticed it now. I was like, okay, 42 plays up. Okay, I'm spoiling it now. But number 42 does play heavily in the first one, and you don't realize it. And obviously, if you haven't seen it, you'll see how important number 42 is. And then there are just little things here that I'm not going to say, but there are things. It's like little things you notice, like, holy crap. Okay, holy crap. So, like, So, like, you get a sense that sometimes, like, when you go into like, any kind of media, you think they haven't planned ahead. But then they're like, they have planned so far ahead. It's amazing. Like, it's just that confirmation that true storytelling still exists in this world. And I love it.
Talking about plan ahead, I'm going to not spoil this, but I'm going to say the plan ahead of Donald Glover. The plan ahead of Donald Glover is ridiculous, right, bruv? Because you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't want to spoil it, but the plan ahead for Donald Glover was one of the most, especially if you see the breakdown, and it's going to drop very simple things in there, and you're going to go, okay, when I think brother and I watched this breakdown, and we're like, oh my God, that is absolutely sublime execution. Donald Glover for the win.
yeah.
Absolutely brilliant execution. And also, I did, I think I said this to Brav, I don't know if I said to you, big man, but I saw a lot of Across the Spider-Verse as a kind of comment about geek culture and about difference and about kind of like those people who are like, canon is the only thing that's really important and you can't have that, and who use canon to exclude. And that's why I kind of love this image of all the spider people coming together, whether it was coming together to fight or coming together to kind of like when they're with Miguel O'Hara, if I can say that without spoiling stuff, and when you're seeing the different iterations, because a lot of it was almost a kind of like, some of you have forgotten what Stan Lee was about. So you really have. So we're going to show you what he was about. And, you know, once again, Oscar, is there nothing Oscar Isaac can't do? This is my other question. Is there nothing Oscar Isaac can't do?
This is why he's one of the many daddies that we love. So of course there's nothing to do.
It's a journey. It's a journey because it's like, is there just, from Moon Knight to Dune to Miguel O'Hara, I don't know how to. I just, is there nothing you can't do? Dag nabbit.
Look, when the guy can play Apocalypse, yeah, and I can completely forget that's him. That tells you the
right. That what? I completely forgot. I actually did completely forget.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was like, what are you talking about? Oh fuck, he was Apocalypse, wasn't it?
He was Apocalypse.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was actually the good thing about that film. That's probably why.
He was the only good thing about that film.
Yeah. That's probably why.
You know my heartbreak about Betty, but we're not gonna.
Chin up.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Back to Oscar Isaac. The only good thing in that goddamn travesty. Oh, and Ethan Peters was pretty good too. But anyway, well, Evan Peters. We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna. They're different. Different.
No.
Yeah, absolutely excellent. Like, I'm happy to wait. A part of me is beyond excited for the final part, which is that beyond?
Yeah, beyond the Spider-Verse.
Beyond the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
I'd like to see how it wraps up.
There's two things I really hope.
Mm-hmm.
One, that my theory is correct. Because I really want to be right, but I could be completely. I got a feeling I'm wrong, but I really want to be right and say that I knew, but again, I feel like I'm probably going to be wrong. That's one of them. The other one, I want to, like, granted, I know it's weird, but I want more Spider-Men or women, or what I'm saying is the spider people that I know. So I would love to see 616 Peter. I would love to see, I would love to actually see. Like Tobey Maguire, Garfield, Holland in the actual film. I would love to see the animated Jessica Drew from original Spider Woman in it. I want to put all the stops. I mean, I'd just love to see the Spider people that we grew up with in it. I mean, like even the amazing versions of the animated Spider Man, I'm open to surprises, but I want my theory to be right. I want it to be right.
We can't even say your theory without spoilers. I feel like.
Well, to be fair, it's not really spoiling anything other than the comic book is realistically, and the comic book's been out for ages, and not people.
Yeah.
People. No. Okay. I'll say my theory. So.
Oh, right. Okay. Go for it.
So like Big Man, I wasn't a big Spider-Man fan. I liked Spider-Man. I would always watch his film, series, and all that stuff. But he wasn't one of my go-tos. But I became a bigger Spider-Man when Michael J. Straczynski started writing Spider-Man comics.
Okay.
He had an amazing run on it. And he introduced a character or a bad guy called Morlun, who was this, best way to describe it, a vampire who fed on spider people. And Peter was his first, his next target. And like, I always remember when the issue I got into, I severely got into when he was introduced. And he had just punched Peter through a wall. And Peter said, "I've been punched by the Hulk and that was harder. Who the hell is this guy?" kind of thing. And it's like, okay, that's a big accolade. Yeah. Like, if you're hitting harder than the Hulk, that's not good. And then this guy proceeded to beat the crap out of Peter, chase him throughout New York, like, to the point of Peter, like, okay, he doesn't know what I look like. Let me take off my costume and put on, like, some clothes. And you're like, oh, I found you. And he was literally the equivalent to Jason in the Marvel comic books. To the point Peter was like, I'm going to die. I'm actually going to die. And luckily, Peter was able to beat him the first time, but then he came back again and he basically Supermaned him in a way. So he beat him to the point of to near death. So this is a period where no one knew who Spider-Man was, and he was unmasked, and they couldn't look, like, no, you couldn't, even if you knew who Spider-Man was or you had an idea, was it, you wouldn't recognize him because his face was beaten up so badly, you couldn't tell who it was.
Yeah.
And then he went back to, he was taken to the hospital, and then Morlun came after to finish him off. MJ tried to save him, and then when he attacked MJ, that's when Peter Potter just basically hulked out and killed him, apparently. And then he died in the process and then was reborn. So he was Superman, basically. That's why I called it Superman. And then that's when the comic book version of the Into the Spider-Verse begins, pretty much, because you find out there's a family of these guys, like Morlun, and that they're feeding on spider people throughout the multiverse. So that's when all the Spider-Men get together to stop this threat.
Right.
And my theory is that that's what one of the characters in the MCU is. If you've seen Into the Spider-Verse, you know which character I'm talking about. But that's my theory.
Across or into?
If you see any of the Spider-Verse, I'm not saying which one. I'm saying if you see any of the Spider-Verse films, you know what character I'm talking about. So I'm not going to say who the character is, but my theory is that character is a Morlun or a vampire in some way, shape, or form that feeds on spider people. I mean, again, other than one moment I've seen something, that's the only evidence I've got, but considering...
There was a moment that we saw something, and it was almost like, it's long enough, but you could miss it.
Yeah, but the problem is, I'm not going to say it. But
so much things happen after that you can almost forget it.
Yeah.
And it happens very early in us meeting.
Okay, stop.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
But anyway, that's my theory. That is my theory, but I feel like I'm wrong.
I don't know, bruv, because you don't give yourself enough credit for your knowledge. You are literally a...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The wonderful minefield that takes on the journey with your comic knowledge.
I know enough to satisfy my needs. I'm no expert.
But those needs are very, very good. So let's see. We will see. We'll come back to this point and go, was Brad right? And I would honestly love it if you were right. But I'd also love it if it was out of left and we were like, I did not see that coming. And then it's actually like we go back and go, oh God, it was coming the whole damn time.
I just want a moment when I go to the cinema. I was right! I just want to do it once in the cinema, that's all.
Just don't. It was all a dream, me. Just don't. It was all a dream. Don't do Dallas in the Bobby in the shower, me. Don't. And Tobey Maguire wakes up and it's the beginning of the school. Don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Can we also give credit to Brian Michael Bendis? Can we?
Oh, you're both talking at the same time.
Oh, sorry, what was that? Sorry. I said, can we just take a moment to shout out Brian Michael Bendis?
We can indeed.
Because this is like the realization of what he was trying to achieve. And, you know, for those who don't know, Brian Michael Bendis basically was like, Brian Michael Bendis has biracial children and was like, I want something that my kids can see that looks like them. And that is why Miles Morales sprung into life.
And that's why Luke Cage got his own Avengers team.
Yep. And I think there is a bit, this is not a spoiler, it's a credit, where there's a mirror on the wall that you see in one place and then you see it again. And if you look, you see it says Brian Michael Bendis. And my heart just raised. I was like, and where they have it, it's like doubly significant because it's to do with him being a father. And I'm just like, Brian, yes, you are. You're the one. I love it. Big man, sorry I spoke over you.
So good. No, I'm just saying, I have more faith in the animated stuff than the current live action stuff when it comes to Marvel right now. So there is no doubt whenever the finale comes, it's going to hit and it's going to hit hard. And I'm all in for it.
Speaking of that segue, I like that, big man. You bring us to the point of the live action. So just to age myself, I remember when Tobey Maguire was cast and we got to watch the very first Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man, which we were hyped for. We were absolutely hyped for the Sam Raimi Spider-Man because we were like, oh, there's going to be elements we're going to like about it. And obviously we've gone on to see Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland, and the combination of that being in No Way From Home. Thoughts and feelings, if we're gonna, you know, on the spider journey.
Or when it comes to live action characters in general, or live action versions. Let's see. Well, in my opinion, Tobey Maguire is the GOAT.
Yes.
Yeah, hands down, he was a really good Peter Parker. Like he was the best version of the down on his luck Parker.
Like, yes.
Like he did that to a perfection.
I'll even forgive episode 3 dancing.
Again, I put it down to like lost passion because one, Raimi didn't want to do Venom, he was forced to do Venom, and you can tell. That film wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. No. Like if you see how he treated Sandman and how he treated Venom, you can tell where the passion was.
No one was happy in that movie.
Yeah.
So Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire broken up because they actually were going out in the first one. And then they were broken up. So There's a very odd energy about it. Everyone looks tired, in my opinion. And there's a sloppiness that I don't... You can tell when Sam Raimi doesn't want to do something. I feel like that's what I feel with the Raimi brother, like with Sam and Ted Raimi. They don't want to do something, but they have to. They make it known. It's sloppy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, even though there are moments of because I still, even though it's the weaker one, and I still to this day do not think Topher Grace should have been cast.
Oh, God, no.
Still do not agree with Topher Grace. And that's
completely wrong.
But in the years, I've gone on to actually like Topher Grace. Like, I like him in Predators.
No, Topher Grace, as an actor, he's good.
As an actor,
he's
like
good. He's a good actor. He's really funny. Really cool. He's really cool.
He was no
Eddie
Brock.
But he wasn't Eddie Brock. He's not like, yeah.
He was not.
No.
Everyone there, even our God, Franco, just looked disinterested. And I think the only moment to me that really kind of struck out was Sandman, like, realizing what he's done. There was moments of tenderness, and that was shot really beautifully.
Yeah, cool. That was the story he cared about. That's when
But the adding of that bullshit Rhino bit, it was just the dancing. Rhino, but I'm almost Rhino, kind of
Rhino,
like
Rhino bit.
Wasn't there a Rhino bit with
That's amazing.
So that's amazing. Sorry, see, I'm getting all mashed up. But it was a film. It's like, this is what happens with someone who really loves something. You make them do it. Because if you compare what we had in that to like Doc Ock execution, which still, that transformation is one of my favorites. The Doc Ock transformation is one of my favorites. One of my absolute favorites, because it's so like Evil Dead. It's unreal. And I absolutely love it. When they're trying to take off the tentacles, absolute brilliant perfection. And Melina was brilliant. Absolute excellent casting.
Hello, Peter.
But yeah. Oh, that was excellent. Bro, that was brilliant.
I have a moment. What was that? See, Amazing Spider-Man. First one was okay. The second one, I didn't really like. But Garfield is like, after seeing him in No Way Home, he was underappreciated. I feel like if he was able to show, like, I mean, like, it's like Andrew Garfield's an actor. I think out of all three of them, he's the best actor. He has more range
in what he does,
and again, his performances are second to none. And it's a shame because I feel like he wasn't given enough to do.
You know what? Looking up for this episode, the whole like remit of it was you have to carry a heavier Spider-Man, which is unfair because it's like also not only are you carrying a heavier Spider-Man, you're gonna have to carry like the incident. You're gonna have to carry one of the most traumatic incidents next to Ben in this whole thing, and you've got to carry that and make that realistic. Everybody else got to have fun.
That's true.
If you think about it, everybody else got to have fun with it. Like, yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't daunting, but you know, there's that fresh like. Freshness of no one having done it when Sam Raimi did it and Tobey Maguire did it and Dunst. It was all new.
Yeah, there was no sense. There's no real sense of loss other than
exactly Ben. Other than Ben. And but it's an element of kind of like we want to see certain beats and there's fun. You know, we got Macho Man in there. We had a lot of fun. And even like Osborns and everything. It was fun. And then we got the second one, which is like, okay. But you've got that time performance by Melina, which carries a lot through, and some really good set pieces. And then you get three, and then we get, you know, amazing. And then he's got, and Garfield's like, okay, so you have to basically kind of revamp this, but you've got to do it darker. You've got to carry all of that legacy, and we're going to do the Gwen Stacy bit. So, cool, go for it, dude.
It's like... A lot of people really want to see a dark Spider-Man. I mean, when Dark Spider-Man's done right, he's done right. I mean, like when I give an example, I'm not talking about Venom Spider-Man when people got the Venom symbiote for the first time. I'm talking about when Peter's at his lowest. He's like,
lowest.
You know what? I ain't gonna hold back. Like, I one of my favorite stories is like, it was during, I think it was just after the Civil War in comic books. So Captain America's dead. They basically have lost, blah, blah, blah. Spider-Man's on the run because he joined Captain America's side. Obviously everyone knows who Spider-Man is now. He hasn't got really much protection anymore. So Kingpin from prison puts a hit out on Spider-Man, and he shoots they shoot Aunt May instead of Peter. So Peter obviously is pissed because there's a possibility she's going to die. And like, literally, she is going to die at this point. So what Peter does is like, all right, okay, cool. So he basically goes to a secret a place where he hid a suit. And it was just a black Spider-Man suit, because after he lost the Venom symbiote, he just got a black Spider-Man suit for a period. So he was still Spider-Man, but it was just all black. It looked cool. It's a cool suit, because Spider-Man in all black is always cool. So he goes to the prison and confronts Kingpin, and he goes like, and it's like, all right, cool. I'm not doing this Spider-Man. I'm gonna do this as Peter. Takes off his top, takes off his mask, and proceeds to beat the shit out of Kingpin in front of everybody. And he goes, he grabs him by the flesh of his skin, picks him up, and tells him what he can do to him. Basically says, I can squirt my weapon into your lungs and kill you. If she dies, I'm coming back here to kill you. No ifs, no buts. He basically said, if Aunt May dies, I'm coming back. And everyone around was like, fuck, okay, shit. And he left Kingpin to crawl back to his cell, and no one said fuck all. And I was like, okay, shit. Like, when Peter just loses his temper, people forget how powerful he is.
He is
stupidly strong. Yeah. Like I remember there was a period where Octavius took over his body as Spider-Man, and he punched
Scorpion. I knew you were going to mention that.
He wasn't controlling his power, and he just punched Scorpion. He punched Scorpion's jaw off. He goes like, oh wow, he's like, I didn't realize how strong he was. He's always been holding back. What the hell?
I'm back.
Yeah, when Peter's the hold back, he's scary. Like, another example. Mary Jane got caught going into Avengers Tower. So they were, and this is when she was at her peak of her fame and acting. The tabloids were saying that, oh, she's probably having an affair with Tony Stark, blah, blah, blah. And then Wolverine, being Wolverine, made a jive at Peter, talking about keeping this woman in check. And all you saw was a hole in the glass window and Peter just walking away, and Wolverine wasn't to be seen. And people were saying, isn't that glass unbreakable? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. And then Wolverine walked up to him. He's like, can't take a joke, can you? Jesus Christ. And it was just like, okay, yeah, don't piss. Like, I would love to see a version of that where he's just pushed. I mean, like, you kind of got a glimpse of that when he when Grobling threatened to kill Mary Jane, and then he just like hulked up. But I want to see a version where it's like I feel Andy Garfield could have played it very well if it was given the right material. Like, if it was just given when he had nothing to lose, he was like, yeah, okay, fine, I'm taking gloves off, and he just beats the shit out of everybody. That's the dark kind of Spider-Man I want to see, but I don't want to see emo Spider-Man. I don't want to see emo Peter Parker. And I feel like it was just wasted on him, because I feel like he could have done that character so well. You saw it in No Way Home, like that broken Peter who lost everything and didn't have a sense of hope. It was that he did that so well.
See, Holland to me, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Holland's the heart. Like, we saw that we know that for Avengers. It was like, you know, that whole scene, I'm not going to do it again because I will cry. He's the heart of it. But it's also like, I think the other, like, you know, the Tom Holland Spider-Man to me is just a reminder of, like, remember this, all these stuff is going on without you, and it's trying to hit another audience. And for me, that's okay. And also, I'm going to say something. I think I said this before in another episode. I said it about Batman, and I'm going to say this about Spider-Man. So, I can do without seeing Uncle Ben dying. I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why I really like the MCU version.
yeah, I think I've seen enough. It's like the Batman thing I said. If I see Thomas and Fink die one more time, I swear to God, I'm done. I feel the same way about, and I think like you, I think it's one of the things where there are very few times that the three of us like match up with things. We've just got a lot of differences. But just like you, Spider-Man wasn't my strong. If anything, it's Spider-Man and his amazing friends is the thing that has me. Mm-hmm. That's usually because of Firestorm. But it's been a great journey and a great ride. Sorry, but what I saw in Across the Spider-Verse where you saw like the whole, that event, I'm like, this is it now, yeah? This is it. I don't want to see this again. I'm happy to have something different than with great power comes great responsibility. I'm happy for that to be expanded, which I feel like Across the Spider-Verse is doing.
See, that's the thing is they haven't changed it, but they've basically given like Miles in the games a version of that.
Yes. And we have to talk about the games as well. I mean, I know we're running out of time, but I think we have to talk about the games as well. Because once again, I think the games are another thing that is carrying a lot. I feel like just... I felt with Spider-Verse and Insomniac Games, just when you're feeling pissed off with a genre of things, along comes something to save the day. And yeah, so far, but the films to me, it's been Across the Spider-Verse. And in gaming, it's Insomniac Games. Because those are... I feel like from the PlayStation 1 where it was like you had that really good Spider-Man game when you got to do the... I mean, looking back on it now, it's a bit rough.
Spider-Man 2, the movie.
With Bruce being, Campbell, being Bruce Campbell, being Bruce. Yeah.
You do that, I would get a sandwich.
Yeah. You suck again, like kind of thing. But that was for the time, was like a feat. Insomniac did that again. They made you feel like the wonder of it. Because I've got to say, like, seeing it executed, like seeing him through the air in New York is like, it's a bit breathtaking. Like, oh my God. And the stories are really good, right, bruv?
Hell yes.
Yeah, you know, in fact, the new one's out. Oh God, is it out now?
No, it's out on the 20th.
2 weeks.
We're clearly waiting.
So by the time this one comes, this episode's come out, it should be either a week and a bit out before it comes out.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I feel like that once again has revived because it was so well executed. The DLC on it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's been played to death in my home before other things turned up. Starfield. Anyway. But. I feel like a lot was done with a very small... I don't know. I like the way things were changed, you know, like J. Jonah Jameson, who is like the constant crazy in all of Spider-Man. But the way that they change how that's executed in accordance with like whether it's the film or the thing, is it like an online Alex Jones adjacent thing? Or it's just done so well. It's animated beautifully. Obviously not to Across the Spider-Verse, but for gaming, it's actually fantastic.
You actually see him in the film.
So many bits where you're like, oh my God, that's done really, really well. And even though for some reason, I can't help but think of the whole Puddlegate thing. Do you remember that, bruv?
And
people are getting upset about the fact
people,
that...
Like we are so spoiled with what we have that if some... Just appreciate people what you fucking get, man. Jesus.
People got vexed because a puddle wasn't as reflective as they'd seen in a trailer. Now, brother and I have been in the game, and Big Man have been in the game long enough to know if you're vexed about a puddle, I have got things I can show you where whole games were disappointments, where whole games were not what we told they were in trailers, and you're vexed about a puddle reflection.
I literally have 99 problems bigger than the puddle right now, so I'm cool.
But you know what? And I guess time will tell. We can't even say whether, but it's looking good that the next one is going to be something fantastic. And long may it's literally holding up once again. It's holding up the franchise Insomniac. And I even love the fact that Insomniac Games gets referenced in Across the Spider-Verse.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
And twice, because he's playing it in the...
He's playing the actual Miles Morales version.
And then he actually appears in in headquarters.
Yeah.
And it literally says Insomniac Games. Insomniac Games
Spider-Man.
Which I absolutely love. We could actually talk about this all day because there's so much we haven't even got in, like the villains. But actually, quick question. Brav, what's your favourite Spider-Man suit?
You can't ask me a question like that and give me, what? What? Ask Big Man. Let me think. I got to think about that.
Wow, Big Man. Favorite Spider-Man suit?
Oh, it has to be the old school Black Venom Amazing Spider-Man issue 300. That is the first time I ever laid eyes on that suit. That suit, for me, is what got me to where the knowledge I have with Spider-Man today. Even got the bloody Funko Pop of it. So, yeah, that speaks my volumes. And, yeah, that is for me. How about you?
My favorite is... It's Miles into the Spider-Verse. It's when it's the leap of faith set sequence. The shorts, the hoodie, the Air Force Ones.
Something about that.
And that whole sequence is one of my favorites across all Spider-Men. But that whole, it's just a leap of faith. And I'll put it in the comments. And, you know, to What's Up Danger. That suit. Like, I love Miles, but that suit, there's just something about it that I think just speaks to it. But I'm also torn between that and Hobie Brown, because Hobie Brown's a G, always. He's also not a comedian, guys. It doesn't work well in teens.
He's only joking.
It's only joking. Can you think, bruv? Come on, bruv.
Okay. So, I'm going to go with... The original Miles Morales costume from the comic books, because that was just, it was just, because my go-to colors are black and red, and so like seeing a suit particularly just for that Spider-Man, it was just the fit was so nice. Like I always remember there's the comic book Spider-Men when the original Peter Parker, so 616 Peter Parker, ends up in the Ultimate Universe, and he meets Miles for the first time, and he's like, "Oh, come on, how's your suit even cooler than mine? Nah, it's not cool. Like, my man was cussing that his suit wasn't as good as that suit, and I love that. Like, because the thing is, like, because in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker has died, and anytime anyone sees someone wearing the original Spider-Man suit saving people, everyone goes, dude, that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that, it's in poor taste. So Peter, who is the original Spider-Man, is wearing that suit and he's getting that all the time. But it was like, it's just like, just look up any of this, the Marvel, the comic book Miles Morales costume. It's just, it's simple, effective, but it just looks crisp.
You know what I just noticed before we go? That how, other than like the contention, which won't spoil if you haven't seen Across the Spider-Verse, but when a lot of the Spider-Men come into like a thing with each other, they're actually really nice. They're really polite, if you get what I mean. Like, even in No Way Home, they were like, hey, that'd be so bad, don't harm yourself. Like that kind of thing.
I'm lame. I'm like, okay. I don't want to be here now. Well, you just want to make you lame.
Like, do that. I mean, and there's like that ribbon, like when they say to Miles, like, are you bleeding from under your arms? Like, with the new suit kind of thing. But there's that also that kind of nice, it's almost like because they know they've got their insecurities. They're like, hey, dude, don't do that. Like, and I love that consistently, that when they meet up with each other, either whether it's like No Way Home or Across the Spider-Verse, especially the ones who are like cool with each other, I will say. They're complimentary.
Yeah, because one thing you've got to remember about Peter Parker, there's one just key thing. He's a good guy. He's a good, like any version of Peter Parker or May, or because like obviously because the Spider-Woman in the wheelchair was a version of May Parker. They're good people, so they're always going to like they don't want to hurt anyone. I mean, like obviously we all know why Peter became Spider-Man. Like he didn't really want to do it. I mean, when no one really wants to be Spider-Man. I mean, like when Miles got his powers for the first time. He was 13 years old, so he was like 2 years younger than Peter. And the first time he used his powers to save someone, he freaked out and said, I'm never doing this again.
Can I just say, being a mum to a 19-year-old, the idea of a 13-year-old in it scares the crap out of me. Now I've been close to a 13-year-old that I've raised. That shit terrifies me. Mm-hmm. That you could be 13 years old with powers. I'm like, no. No, we don't. No. No. You don't want to give a 13-year-old powers. I'm just saying. No. Mm-mm. Can you imagine?
Yeah, we've got Chronicle.
This is true. This, oh, my God. Chronicle. Future episode right there. Chronicle. Oh, that would Jamie Bell, right?
No. Yes. No. It's
no.
Michael B. Jordan and what's his name? The guy who played Osborn's kid in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Why did I think Jamie Bell? I don't.
Jamie Bell technically, because technically Jamie Bell was in the film directed by the same guy who did Chronicle.
Okay, thank you for.
He was in Fantastic Four.
You know where my brain goes. I get Chronicle. We have to cover that in a future episode. Oh my Chronicle. Okay, you know what? I think that is where we got to end it. Chronicle, bruv, you brought that up. You dusted that off. Exceptional.
I have moments.
My God. Well, thank you for coming on this journey with us. Talking a little bit about. I don't think we even dusted this. We dusted the service lightly. We didn't even get into it, but. Bruv and Big Man, once again, fantastic takes. I love the fact that Big Man knew exactly by issue what Spider-Man the costume was his favourite. Thank you very much for that. Issue 300, you know. I love it. It's so good to be back. So good to be doing this with these awesome two gentlemen by me. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at a messed up pod. You can email us at St. Jude's Avengers at centuriesavengers@gmail.com. Big Man, sorry.
Email.com, everyone.
Oh my God! centuriesavengers@gmail.com. Oh my gosh. Big Man, what about you?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. You can find me on Instagram at Mr_Roberts_V1. And you can find me on Twitter at War3782, Mr. Classic, sir, where can we find you?
You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB. You can find me on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok under InstantClassic_gaming.
Thank you very much for your time and your ears. It is good to be back, and we look forward to speaking to you and telling you some more geeky shit next time. Take care.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.